Text 51551. The Ray D'Arcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
Richard Benani says, I watched so much sport over the weekend, my eyes are popping out of my head. Well done, Ireland. Yeah, I watched the Ireland game and then the England-Scotland game and then the France-Italy game, and then I watched Kerry beat Dublin and more and more and more. It was one of those weekends, wasn't it? And I also watched The Tinder Swindler. Where did I get the time? It's a great name, isn't it? It's the name of a Netflix documentary that was released last week. It spent all weekend in the number one spot on Irish Netflix charts, as well as being a huge hit internationally. A lot of you will have seen it, but if you haven't, it tells the true story of a con man who used the dating app Tinder to source victims. And it is estimated that he swindled women out of $10 million. There's an Irish producer behind this worldwide smash. Her name is Bernie Higgins, and she joins us on the line now from London. Good afternoon, Bernie.
Hello, Ray. How are you?
Good. Congratulations on the Tinder Swindler.
Oh, thank you very much.
This was a story that first came to the world's attention through a Norwegian newspaper.
That's right.
Yes, and that's where you spotted it. So I just gave a very brief outline of it. You might bring our listeners up to date a little bit more, flesh it out there.
Well, obviously, I don't want to include any spoilers for anyone that hasn't already seen it, because you know yourself, it's a real roller coaster ride of a film. But it's essentially looking at, it starts with the search for love, and it's a romance, which then quickly turns into a bit of a horror, which then turns into a bit of a mystery, which then turns into a thriller. And it's kind of just looking at, you know, the art of illusion, I guess, and how vulnerable we all are to it when we're dealing with a master of it.
Yeah. Cecile, Pernilla and Aileen are the three women we see, and they're three of many that this particular con man has swindled over the years.
Yeah.
And he's taken on many names, hasn't he, as well?
Yeah, he's had many different identities over the years. I mean, we concentrate on Simon in this one. We do kind of hint at the fact that he has previously used a name, Mordecai Tapiro, back in Scandinavia between kind of 2015, 2017. Before that, he was using his actual given name, which was Shimon Yehuda Hayut. But he's had also like a number of different passports with different identities on them. So there's a whole backstory of Simon, which we don't really go into in too much detail in the film, because we really wanted the film to be the woman having an opportunity to tell their story. So we didn't really want to find out anything about Simon that they didn't find out during the course of this time period.
So it all starts on Tinder, as the name suggests. And he is, and I know it's easy to say this with hindsight, but he is too good to be true, isn't he?
He's the perfect boyfriend.
He is, yeah. So just for example, like he says that he is the son and heir of a diamond dynasty.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, basically the Israeli version of De Beers.
Right.
LLD Diamonds, which does exist and is indeed a very successful diamond mining company, but Simon doesn't actually have any connection to it whatsoever. But he obviously knows that diamonds are a girl's best friend, so it's a very kind of seductive business to be in. And, you know, he has the private jets, he has the drivers, he has... what you have to remember about this story is that, you know, we've all become very kind of intelligent about catfishing, and we all know how to spot catfishes online and all the rest, but usually when you meet the person, that's when the game's up.
Yes.
Whereas for these women, they met him very quickly in real life and everything stood up. So that's when it really began. And it was more like at the Truman Show than it was catfish from that point.
Tinder is based geographically. So he knew what he was doing, did he?
When
he obviously, and it doesn't go in too much to this, I suppose, to protect the women involved. But he was going for a certain type, wasn't he? He needed a certain type of woman. Successful, good career, a person who could get their hands on a lot of money at the other end of his scam, his swindle.
Yeah, and, you know, Cecilia will say herself, you know, she was the perfect victim. And, you know, there was a lot of ones that got away with Simon as well. You know, it was a numbers game with Simon. But he was very adept at spotting the perfect victim when he found her.
Right.
He was very good at reading people. He's very good at doing the kind of classic con man thing of mirroring whatever it is that person wants you to be. So he's a great listener, you know, and the perfect boyfriend is always a great listener. So he would really listen, but in a very calculated way. So he would really register everything that they said they were looking for, and then, hey, presto, that's exactly what he was.
Okay. So I'm going to give away just the beginning, because Cecilia, as you say, meets him very, very quickly in a very posh London hotel. And before she knows it, she's on his private jet. Well, what she thinks is his private jet. That's pretty spectacular, isn't it?
Yeah. It's not your average Tinder date, right?
No, it's not. It's not. It's, and he's an okay looking lad, isn't he? He's, you know, and he wears all the right clothes. He's designer from head to toe. Prada, Versace, all the big names. And as you say, he is attentive.
Very attentive. And, you know, Fliss, the director, and myself, you know, we often had conversations during the making of the film that we kind of, you know, we came into it obviously knowing how it all turned out.
Yeah.
So we were never going to have the Simon experience, but we did imagine, you know, what that must have been, because it's not just about how somebody's dressed or the watch that they're wearing. You know, people are very attracted to somebody's general aura, their presence, their charisma. And he obviously had that in spades as well, because these are intelligent women, you know, and these are not, you know, they're not fresh off the boat. They've dated lots of men. And they're not only going for guys in the 0.01%, you know, Cecilia had dated, you know, as she says in the film, she dated over 1,000 guys and they weren't all billionaires. So, you know, there was something about him. And you'll often find that people say that when they've become the victim of a master con artist, there's just something about them. They're beguiling. Yeah. They're charming, and they can turn somebody's head, who's somebody who would never have thought their head could have been turned.
But he's acting it, obviously. He's acting a role. He's acting the heir to a diamond dynasty. That's what he's doing. He's doing it very well. I suppose what people who haven't seen it, the big question, and I was asking myself while watching it, where does he get the money for all of this? But it's a sort of a Ponzi scheme, isn't it? He's working on one, funding the next, and so on.
Yeah, he's robbing Peter to pay Paul, basically. Yeah. But yeah, and as is touched upon in the film, you know, there's no way that there isn't multiple women who have fallen, you know, victim to Simon in order for him to live the life that he's living, because no one woman is giving him enough money to finance the rest of his lifestyle. So, you know, we tell the stories of three women that it's happened to, but there are many, many more.
So the lifestyle, just give people an idea. I've mentioned the designer clothing, but there was flashy cars.
Flashy cars, an entourage of staff, a bodyguard that was always with him.
Peter,
yes. He always stayed in 5-star hotels. He mostly flew private. He didn't wear a thread of clothing that wasn't designer. He only ate in the best restaurants. He only drank in the best bars. If you went to any city in Europe with him, everyone in all the best bars knew him. They would all be saying, "Welcome back, Mr. Levive. We've got your table ready for you, Mr. Levive." I mean, he was working the elite circuit globally, and he was known. It's amazing what you can get away with when you've got enough chutzpah.
Yeah, that's chutzpah, because I would have thought in the world we live in, where everyone's on social media and everyone's cross-referencing things and everybody Googles somebody if their interest is piqued in any way. How did he get through all of that?
Well, it eventually came back to bite him, but it's unbelievable how much people just believe what they see. And, you know, Cecilia talks about it as well in the film, you know, that she was very reassured by his Instagram. I mean, he's so blatant that there's no reason to question him, really. I mean, if somebody says who they say they are and everyone else refers to them as that person and every hotel you go into in Munich or wherever is referring to them as that person, why would you question it? It really is like the Truman Show. Why would you question it?
Yeah, and it looks like, and you know, there's bits and pieces of it in the documentary, which is brilliant, that he's built this up over years and years and years. He started off as a teenager, sort of, you know, maybe with checks. Impersonating people with checks or something like that?
Well, yeah, I mean, he's got a lot more sophisticated as the years have gone on.
Yeah.
So every crime he's committed has taught him a lesson that he takes into the next one, essentially.
Yes.
We're releasing a companion podcast on Wednesday, which is a 3-part series called The Making of a Swindler.
Yeah.
And in that, we do go into a lot more detail about those early crimes and about how he kind of created almost the perfect criminal by the time he got to Simon Levive, because by the time he got to Simon, his hands kind of weren't anywhere near it. That's the kind of the real, the best thing that he's done in this crime. It's very easy for him to say, oh, the girls just lent me money, or I paid them back in cash. But he's learned all of that over the years. He's learned from every crime he's committed what not to do the next time.
So he was maxing out their credit cards, not his.
Exactly.
And then he had this, all that, the stories around his enemies, all very vague, but very impressive all the same, because again, acting out fear in his voice when he left voice notes. And the brilliant thing about this documentary is you've access to all of those voice notes, which is...
Yeah. I mean, that was gold.
Wasn't it gold? It's his voice, this man, this swindler. And there he is saying the things. It's not some woman saying he said this. We can hear him saying it.
I know. Well, he didn't like to text. He preferred to send voice notes. I don't think he had time to text when you think about it. So I think he'll probably regret leaving so many voice notes. But for us, that was absolute.
Do you know if he's seen it himself? Have you had any communication from him?
He released a statement a couple of days ago on his Instagram saying that he would be... He was thanking everyone for their support. I can't say that I've seen any support from online, but he was thanking everyone for their support, and then saying that he would be releasing, you know, his side of the story in within a couple of days. But then since then, his Instagram has completely disappeared, and he's been publicly, you know, very banned from Tinder. He's never allowed to go back on Tinder, so I don't know where he is at the moment, but ironically, there are quite a number of fake Simon Levive Instagram accounts running at the moment. So
be careful.
Yeah, he hasn't lost.
I say, you know, there would be a market for a book that he would write, wouldn't there? There are certain people in the world who you know, like he's sort of the ultimate player with crime, I suppose. The player with crime, you know, that player guy who Strauss was his name. He was teaching men how to interact with women in bars and stuff like that.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. You would hope with this documentary out there and the attention it's getting that this will never happen again, but that's not the way the world works, does it?
Yeah, we can only take on one at a time. I mean, what we're hoping is that people will take away some learnings from this beyond being entertained by it. You know, obviously that, you know, the big question is, you know, what are the red flags? I would say that, and the girls would say themselves, that the biggest red flag for anyone to look out for is if somebody is just too intimate too quickly. When somebody's telling you they love you on, you know, within a couple of weeks, or, you know, just really love bombing you, or just it all seems to be something that you're getting swept up in rather than something that you've got control over, then that's the biggest red flag. And we think that hopefully the film will at least show that in some parts.
It's mad, because that's a red flag when it comes to coercive control as well.
Well, that's what he was doing.
Yeah. And did I get a hint there in the middle of our little chat that you had a little bit of admiration for him?
No, you did not, right?
No. No, you know, that happens, doesn't it? It's a variation of Stockholm syndrome or something like that.
No, I can tell you, I have definitely not fallen for Simon's charms. I have no admiration for Simon, I can assure you.
And the podcast is out when?
It's out on Wednesday, and you can listen to it anywhere you listen to your podcasts. And it's three parts, and it's called The Making of a Swindler.
And I think we've piqued people's interest who haven't seen it. The Tinder Swindler. Up on Netflix now. Bernie Higgins, congratulations again. Well done. Talk to you soon.
Thanks so much. Take care.
Bye. The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.